we can all gather together and we can have a good time, and I know we can sing songs and we can enjoy the blessings of God and the fellowship of God, and things can go forward and we can get all excited and go home and say we've had a good time. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with worshiping the Lord. There's nothing wrong with singing. There's nothing wrong with fellowship. There's nothing wrong with all of it. It's all good. But there's a time and a place for all things in the kingdom of God. And I believe we're coming to a time in history that we need to really be grounded and understand where we are. And I want us to know tonight that beyond salvation, beyond being baptized with water, beyond even being infilled or indwelled by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that God's Holy Spirit is waiting to meet each of us personally. And if you don't know Him in a personal and intimate way, He wants to know you that way. Amen? We have many friends out there, and some of them are intimate friends, and some of them you can share almost everything with. You know, there are people that I've had in my life that I could share freely everything that I felt. They're few and far between, because most people you can't do that with. They're going to go tell somebody else. But there are a few. And I'm sure that you've had a few in your life that you could share things with that you wouldn't want anybody else to know but them and God. And they would keep it to themselves and pray about it and see God's face about it. But the Holy Spirit, He wants even a more intimate relationship with you than that. And that ought to excite us, because that's the third person of the Godhead that wants that kind of relationship with you. The Bible said we'd receive power after that the Holy Spirit came upon us. And I believe that we need that power in this day. Just think about what we've talked about here tonight and the prayer requests that have been made in our presence and in our hearing tonight should tell us that we need the power of God. We need the discernment of God in our life. And so we want to deal with that. We want to deal with who the Holy Spirit is. And I'm going to be teaching you some things out of the Word of God, mostly out of the Word of God. But I always, I learned a long time ago that I don't know it all. Amen? And you'll find that out before it's over with, that I don't know it all. But I have found out there are other men and other women that God anointed. They have written books. They have made tapes. They have preached sermons. And I listen to other people. Amen. If it bears witness with the Word of God, I can filter it through the Word of God, and God's Word will back it up, I'm going to listen to it. Amen. Because I don't know it all, and I think that's where a lot of people get in trouble, when they get the idea that they know more than everybody else, but that's not true. God needs all of us, and we all need Him. So with that being said, I want to talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be dealing with Him and who He is. I'm going to share with you out of the Word of God. I'm also going to share with you some things out of a book that Benny Hinn wrote called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. How many of you read that book? It's a very interesting book, amen. What first got me started into an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit was that book. And beginning to understand that. And I think I probably was like a lot of people a few years ago that felt like God was way off out there, and Jesus was way off out there. And yes, they answered our prayers. And yes, I understood all that. But they were sort of unreachable and untouchable. And I was kind of left alone down here by myself. But I began to realize as I read Benny Hinn's book that, you know what? God the Holy Spirit's still here. He wants an intimate relationship with me. He wants to walk with me daily. He wants to talk with me and commune with me and guide me and lead me. And when I begin to realize and I begin to understand that God cared enough about me to send the Holy Spirit back to be my comforter, to be my guide, then I begin to understand that what God's magnitude, the magnitude of God's love for me really was. So we'll be dealing with that, some out of his book also. I have a book, and have you finished yours, Bruce? Have you? You're ahead of everybody else, I'm telling you that. Lester Summerall, I don't know how many of you know him. He founded LaCie Broadcasting. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But Lester Summerall wrote a book called The Gifts and Ministries of the Holy Spirit. I'm in the process of reading it. Bruce has already finished his, so he knows more than I do. Amen. Maybe you ought to be teaching this. All right. Mom finished it too? My goodness. I feel kind of left out now. But anyway, we'll be referring to some of the things he said. But I want you to know tonight who the Holy Spirit is. I want you to know that he does desire relationship with each of us. He is a person. He is a third person of the Trinity. Amen? I want you to know that he's the most beautiful, most precious, loveliest person on earth, and that he loves you. Amen? More than your wife or your husband or your father or your mother or anybody else is ever capable of loving you, he loves you. You see, we're capable of that because of kind of love. I love you because you love me. I give you gifts because you give me gifts. But God, through the Holy Spirit, loves us unconditionally, even when we don't love him. Bible says when we were without Christ and yet sinners in the world, Christ loved us enough to die for us. So I want you to know who he is. I want you to know who the Holy Spirit is. God's Son is not here on the earth anymore. How many of you know that? Amen. God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea. The devil tried to kill him even then and tried to kill him. If you will think about it, the whole 33 years he walked on this earth, the devil made attempt after attempt after attempt to kill him. Because Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament, and a lot of the Old Testament prophets told of who was coming. They prophesied that there would come one born of a virgin who would be a savior or a sacrifice for the world. Now, the devil knew he was coming, but he never knew who he was until the day that he was baptized in the river Jordan by John the Baptist. How many of you know what happened that day? Amen. When Jesus was baptized in the river Jordan, John the Baptist brought him up out of that water, and the Bible said that the heavens opened. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, descended on him in the form of a dove and abode on him. And one of the few times that God Almighty himself speaks verbally that we have record of from heaven, and he says, he declares, "This is my beloved Son. Hear you him." The devil said, "Aha. That's him right there." And if you'll study Jesus' life after that, you'll find out, well, even after the baptism, he was driven into the wilderness and tempted and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil tried everything he could to kill him and finally managed to do it. But the magnificent part of it was this, that he was playing into the hands of God and he didn't even know it. Because that was God's plan all along. And I'm going to show you that tonight. But then when Jesus, and I said he's not here, ascended back to heaven, he gave us a promise. He said, "I'm going to send you back a comforter. I'm going to send you back the Holy Spirit." So who is on the earth tonight? God the Holy Spirit. Amen. For God the Father came to do his work. Through the Son it was done. And now God sends back the Holy Spirit to comfort us. I want you to understand the intimacy of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, according to Lester Summerall, and I agree with him, and I'm just going to share some things out of his book with you to accurately study the work of the Holy Spirit, we must begin with the book of Genesis. The first book of the Bible Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to study this from, I believe, verses 1 through 11, contained a description of the spiritual gifts. Amen. They're all there. And we're going to get into that. We're going to get into what they are, how they function, and how the Holy Spirit uses them in the body of Christ. And that will be exciting when we get to it. But I think in order for us to understand even that, we have to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1. Amen. And find out what happened. In the book of Genesis, according to Lester Summerall, we see the Holy Spirit introduced in pristine grandeur and exciting and thrilling display of the role of the Holy Spirit in the beginning. See, the Holy Spirit's been here all along. He's been in existence from the get-go. In the beginning, the Bible said in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. The first introduction, the first mention that we have of the Spirit of God is in Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit, or actually Lester is going to show you how the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with God the Father and God the Son to function in the earth today. The Holy Spirit has been here for 6,000 years. He's been busy functioning with mankind for 6,000 years since Adam. Amen. He didn't just come back for the first time when Jesus left. He's been involved in the whole thing all along. He knows our problems. He knows the answer and the solution to our problems. And folk, how many of you know we need the answers? Amen. And if God's got the answers and he's the one that has all the answers, then we need to understand and go for the answers. And the one that brings the answers to us from God is the Holy Spirit. When we think of the function of the Holy Spirit in the creation of the world, we think of omnipotence. And that describes the Holy Spirit. He's all-powerful. He has the power of God. And when God spoke into existence the world, the Holy Spirit was the one that actually brought it into existence. And he brought order out of chaos, because that's what God faced when he first began to create the heaven and earth, was chaos. And he began to bring order to it. And the Holy Spirit was the person that God spoke the word. And his word had to be obeyed. And the Holy Spirit was the power that brought that word into existence. So when God said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit brought the light. When God said, let the heaven and the earth separate, the firmament and the earth separate, the Holy Spirit was one that actually did the work. The Spirit of God moved on the desolation that God was facing in the beginning. Not only is he omnipotent, but he's omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is everywhere all the time. How many of you know that? A lot of people think when they go to the bathroom, they get rid of the Holy Spirit. No. He's seen you at your worst, believe me, he has. And he's also seen you at your best. Psalms 139 and verse 7 says, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You can't get away from the Holy Spirit of God. He's always present with you. So if he's always present, why not make him your friend? Wouldn't it be wiser to make him your friend, to get to know him intimately, to get to understand who he is and what he is, and understand that he is the presence of God on earth today, and he's here to perform the will of God in your life. He possesses all power. He's everywhere. There's no place that the gifts of the Spirit will not function. How many of you know that? How many of you have ever heard this statement from somebody? And I've heard this statement. We can't do it here. We can't have revival here. God can't do things here. Oh, yes, he can. The Holy Spirit can function any place. The gifts of the Spirit can function any place that you and I are willing to allow God to work through us to perform his work. Amen? Yeah, God can do it right here. He can do it again. There's an old song that says, he'll do it again and again and again and again. He has the power. He has the ability. All we have to do is yield to it. The Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit will function anywhere. It's the Holy Spirit. You got to understand this. The Holy Spirit moves back and forth, bringing communication from our heart to God. How many of you know that the Bible said in 1 Corinthians that we don't even know what to pray for as we ought? But the Spirit prays through us in utterings and unctions that we don't even understand. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I don't know how to pray. I hear of a situation and I understand the situation, even some of the things that we have brought up tonight. And you really don't know what to pray. Then you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you, and He's the one that brings communication from your heart to God's heart, and God, and from God's heart back to your heart. He's accustomed to striving with the hearts of men. How many of you know that? He strives with the hearts of men on a continual basis. When you feel within you a craving and a desire to move and to be more like God, and to live a more holy life. How many of you ever felt that? I'm glad. Sometimes I wonder about us, you know, when we don't feel that. We are definitely way away from God. But when you feel that craving and that desire to be more like God, to live a more holy life. And I think for most Christians, that is a sincere desire. It might not be expressed every day, but it's a sincere desire of the heart all the time. What you have to realize is that is the moving of the Holy Spirit upon your life. That is Him functioning within you to create a desire within you to be more like Jesus, to operate more like Jesus, to move into the image of God in a greater way. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Bible promised us that He would pour out. And this is something a lot of people have missed. If you want to, you can turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, and I'll show you this in the Word of God. But a lot of people have missed this because you hear this scripture quoted all the time. And most of the time when you hear it quoted, this is the way you hear it quoted. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Is that the way you've heard it? I hear it a lot. I hear it from even your most famous TV evangelists get up and say that. But if you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 8, that's not really what it says. Let's look at what it really says. Is it Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2, I'm sorry, and verse 17. Listen to what it says. And this is a prophecy made by the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. Peter is preaching here on the day of Pentecost, and he's only repeating Joel's prophecy. And listen to what he says. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit. You see that little word of in there? I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. You very seldom hear that word of quoted. When you hear that scripture quoted. But here's the central theme of the entire study of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God will be poured out upon us. We will experience the infilling of the Spirit of God. And as the infilling of the Spirit of God comes, His gifts will automatically start to flow and work and operate in our lives. But it's not because God's pouring out His Spirit upon us. He's pouring out of His Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to get to you? He's got, for an example, if I have a pitcher of water and I come around to your table in a restaurant and I ask you if you want water and you say yes, I'm pouring out of that water into your glass, but I'm not pouring it all out. I'm pouring what you need out at one time. So God is pouring out of His Spirit upon us in these last days. He's not pouring out the entire anointing, the entire Spirit. And what does that create and what does that cause? It causes the gifts of the Spirit to begin to function in your life and in my life in different areas. You may not get all the gifts. I may not get all the gifts. We may not all get the gifts together, but as a body, every gift of the Spirit will work in that body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you'll understand that. Let's go back there and look at it for a minute. Just read it. I want to read your scripture tonight and just share. I don't know how long we'll do this, but only as long as the Holy Spirit tells us to do it. But I just want to share with you some things that I trust that you already know, but that we need to understand about the Spirit of God. He is the one that's functioning in our life. He is the one that's functioning in the body of Christ today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said this in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. The word ignorant there translated should be unlearned. So God doesn't desire us to be unlearned in the gifts of the Spirit. He desires us to understand the function of the gifts of the Spirit, how they work, why they work, and what their purpose is. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. How many of you understand what that means? That you cannot curse Christ and do that under the Spirit of the anointing of God. It just ain't going to work. Amen? And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord. How many of you have ever had said Jesus is Lord? I mean, for whatever reason and whatever. How many of you realize that only by the Spirit of God can you say that? If the Spirit of God didn't allow you and prompt you to say that, you couldn't get those words out of your mouth. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. The word administrations simply means ministries. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities or different operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now listen very carefully to this, because here's what Paul's saying here. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. Now listen to what he says, verse 11. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, the Holy Spirit does it all. Amen? Dividing to every man severally as who will? As he will. So when God pours out of his Spirit upon all flesh, all the gifts of the Spirit begin to manifest, but they might not all manifest in one person. Bob might get two or three, and Carlos might get two or three, and you might get two or three, but all together in the body, they will function. Every one of them will function, but they will not all function in one person. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? God uses the gifts of the Spirit in a service or services to accomplish His will. It's not to patronize us or to impress anybody around us, but God simply wants to pour out of His Spirit into a service, pour out of His Spirit into His people, and allow the gifts of the Spirit to work for one reason and one reason only, that His Son can be glorified. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit and the purpose of the operation of the Holy Spirit being poured out in the body of Christ is to magnify Jesus Christ. And if that's not what's going on with it, then it's out of order. Do you understand that? It's not right if we're doing it to impress each other or to try to emulate or copy the gifts of the Spirit in order to impress other people. It's just not what God intended. So when God pours out of His Spirit in a service, that's why I tell you many times it's so imperative that we understand and follow the leadership of the Spirit in a service. Bob, I told him earlier tonight, the song service this morning was magnificent. I loved it. Amen. It seemed like everything just fell right into place. Who do you think does that, Bob? He's smart, but he ain't that smart. Amen. That's the Spirit of God. And that's why it's great for us to come to church Sunday morning or Sunday night or any other time with a plan. And Bob lays out the songs, and I think he does a wonderful job. I appreciate him for what he does. But the thing is, during that service, I've watched him. And sometimes he will change right in the middle of it. You know who that is? That's the leadership of God. We have to be willing to change when the Spirit of God says change. We can't come with such a dogmatic, ironclad plan that we're not going to change it no matter what, because God won't bless that. Because when God begins to bless the song service, how many of you know that the worship and the song service is the most important part of the service? It is. Because you know what? That prepares the spirit of the lost to receive the Word of God. You can get by with a second class or a third class preacher, but you need first class worship. Amen. You need people that are willing to come in and follow the leadership of the Lord and follow the Spirit of God and allow God to pour out of His Spirit in a service and allow everything that God wants to be done in that service done. And if it means changing in the middle of it, that's fine. Let God do it. Amen. Because it's better when God does it than it is when I do it anyway. That's why I love it so much when we get into one of those services, and we've had a few here in the last few months, when God just takes over and it gets completely out of my hands. Don't have to worry about it anymore, Bob. God's taking care of it. Now I can just sit down and let Him do it. But that's when God pours out of His Spirit upon a congregation or a group of people, and He begins to function in them. And that's why it's so important. And I'll get into a lot of this later on, because there's so much misunderstanding on tongues and the interpretation of tongues and the gifts of tongues. And there are four types of tongues. There are tongues for a personal prayer life, for your personal edification, and God gives that to everybody that's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some of you may never exercise that gift, but it's yours. It's there. It's available to you. There's also tongues for interpretation. Amen. And there is a gift of interpretation of tongues. And that interpretation, tongues and interpretation, and like I said, I'll get into all this later on a little better and a little more detail. But tongues that are given for interpretation are tongues that are given in a service where there is somebody with a gift of interpretation present. And how many of you know what that gift is, what that tongue is for? The Bible says it's to edify. The word edify means build up the entire body. God will never, hear me on this, God will never give a tongue for interpretation that tears down the body of Christ. That's not what it's for. So anytime you're in a service where you hear a tongue and an interpretation that does damage to the body of Christ, somebody is out of order. Because my Bible teaches me that tongues for interpretation are always to edify or build up or increase the body of Christ. Are you getting that? Do you understand that? Then there are tongues for intercession. And that tongue is given to people who God calls into the ministry of intercession. And a lot of times, intercessors, I know several people that have a ministry of intercession. And, you know, it seems like God calls women to that. I don't know why that is, other than they're more sensitive in their spirit sometimes than us guys are, out beating with a hammer or whatever we do during the day. But I've talked to women who said, you know, I was washing dishes, or I was vacuuming the floor, or I was this, or I was that, and suddenly this burden comes upon me. And I begin to really get under the weight of a burden, and it seemed like it just settles on my shoulders. And I know that I'm supposed to pray for so-and-so. I don't know why. I don't know what the circumstances are. I don't know what the situation is. But I know that I need to pray for them now. And an intercessor, when that comes on them, they will drop whatever they're doing, go to their prayer closet, and begin to pray in that prayer language that God has given them. And the reason for that is they don't know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit does. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is going to... And what did I tell you a few minutes ago? The Holy Spirit is the one that carries your heart communication to God and God's heart communication to you. So that intercessor goes into that closet and begins to pray in that tongue that God has given them for intercession. And wherever the circumstances, wherever the situation was, God can intervene. How many of you know God cannot intervene in a situation unless somebody prays? You see, when God turned dominion of this earth over to Adam, he took his hands off of it. We would call it an Indian giver if you give something. So I know when we was kids, we used to say that. You give something to somebody and they want to take it back. And that's what they would call it. When God gave dominion of this earth to Adam, he gave it to him. He didn't take it back. But here's the thing. When Adam relinquished that dominion, see, Satan saw what Adam had, because Satan was at that time Lucifer, a created being in the garden that was actually placed there to serve Adam and Eve. And when Satan, or Lucifer as he was at that time known, saw that God gave Adam something he didn't give him. Lucifer didn't have the power to have authority over the earth, but he began to covet it. So he devises a plan whereby he can take from man that God gave him, which was dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and over the earth. God gave him dominion, Adam dominion, over every living thing, every creature, gave him dominion over the earth. Lucifer saw it, desired it, covetousness entered his heart, devised a plan to get it, and deceived first Eve and then her husband Adam into relinquishing that power to him. Now, God gave it to Adam. Adam gave it away. How many of you know the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world? That's how he got it. And God will not take it back. Now, here's the problem. God's given dominion of the earth to Adam. Adam's given it to the devil. God has no right in the earth anymore. Think about that for a minute. So God devises a plan whereby he can redeem mankind through his Son. Amen? And that's what this is all about. Because God sent his Son. Jesus had to be born of woman. Did you know that? He had to come into this earth the same way you and I did. He had to be born of woman. But what the devil didn't know was that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so there was no contamination of sin in him because he wasn't of the race of Adam. He was fathered by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that medical science will tell you that the blood in your body was determined by your father? Not your mother? Isn't that amazing? Because Jesus' blood was uncontaminated blood. Why? Because he was conceived and fathered by the Holy Spirit. Been at work all along, isn't it? Jesus was born with pure, uncontaminated blood in his body. Walked 33 years with the devil trying to kill him, the most part of that upon the earth, the Holy Spirit protecting him. And then he went to the cross of Calvary and he shed that blood for you and for me to pay our sin debt. And once we accept that sacrifice for our sin, God brings us back into relationship with him, and thereby God has access back into the earth. How? Through you and me. How does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit and the functioning gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting this? I feel like sometimes I'm over your head a little bit. But God moved, and the whole plan of God was that. Amen? Back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I just I don't want to go too far into this and get you too bored or too overloaded with what's going on, but God said, in the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, meaning men and women and young people, all cultures, all languages, all people, whether low-born or high-born, well-educated or ignorant, God will pour out of his spirit upon people in these last days. And what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said it. John chapter 16, I've quoted it so much in here, you should know it by heart now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, his job will be to what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Isn't it amazing that we can know things to come? How many of you knew that you could know the future? Huh? One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to bring to our heart a revelation of the future. That's amazing. We'll get into that a little later on. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to just go through this and then maybe we'll call it quits for tonight. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, and let's just read the scripture and go through it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Although Paul could have, because he was a very educated man. He made that statement himself, that he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He'd studied. He was a Jew. He'd studied all the Jewish law. He was a very educated man. But he says here, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with what? Enticing words of man's wisdom. You see, I fear that that's where we've gone today in a lot of our modern churches. We've gotten away from the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We've gotten away from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we've gotten into the wisdom of man, and we have devised all these marketing strategies and all these man-devised promotional gimmicks to get people to come to church. But when they get there, there's no power. And when they get there, there's no anointing. So the answer is not there. And it's just a constant turnover. And when it becomes a constant turnover, then they have to rely on all of their marketing skills to keep people coming to replace the ones that left. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. How many of you know that the faith that stands in the wisdom of man is going to fall when the temptation comes? When the trouble comes, if you're trusting in man's wisdom, it's going to fail you at the most inopportune moment, at the most important moment in your life. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. Now, this is a very interesting scripture to me, because you remember that I told you the devil was out to seek to kill Jesus Christ. Almost his entire life, tried it when he was a baby, and tried it all the way through his life, but especially after he found out for sure that Jesus was the Son of God. And I told you that he was playing into God's hands by doing that. Listen to this. Howbeit, we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Unto our glory. When did he ordain it? Before the foundation of the world. This plan was set before God in Genesis 1:1 said, let there be light. Amen? Listen to what he said. which none of the princes of this world knew. See, what the devil didn't know was that this was God's plan all along. For had they known it, listen to what Paul said, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's this simple. Had the devil known what God's plan was, Christ would never have been crucified. The end result of that is the blood would never have been shed. You and I couldn't be saved. He had the whole plan hid from the devil. The devil played right into his hand. When Christ was crucified, when the Sanhedrin court falsely accused him, got false testimony against him, and had him crucified, they were playing into the plan of God for you and for me. And it was all manipulated and all planned through the Holy Spirit of God. But as it is written, I have not seen, listen to this, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Man cannot comprehend in his own heart what God has for us, you and I. But listen to what Paul says in the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by who? The Holy Spirit. His Spirit. Amen? For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows the things of God. Amen? So anything that you know about the future, anything you know about what God has planned for you in the future, was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, you don't know it. Because he's the only one that does know it. Amen? Now, listen to this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. That's why I say to you, people say, well, you never know what God's going to do. Oh, yes, you do. You can know everything God's going to do. He put it every bit right here in this book. Amen. It's all here. Every bit of it. You can know it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but my God delivereth him out of them all. You can always know what God's going to do. He predetermined it. He predestined it. And he put it in the Word of God so that you could know what he... In any situation... That's why the Bible said the wages of sin is death. Every situation. The wages of sin is always... The wages of sin is always... The wages of sin is always... It fascinates me how many people think they can beat that statement and that fact. And they can sin and get away with it. How many people do you know that actually think they can commit sin and get away with it? It just won't work. But we can know that. That we might know the things that are freely given us to God. Which things also we speak not in the world, words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But, listen to this. But the natural man or the natural mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. How many of you have ever heard somebody say speaking in tongues and the anointing and all that is foolishness? I've been told that by people that seriously meant it to hurt my feelings. I have been told that. And the reason they say that is because they're trying to comprehend a spiritual thing, a spiritual act of God pouring out of his Spirit. They're trying to comprehend it with a natural mind. And I assure you, you will never comprehend God and the spiritual things of God with your natural mind. Now, several years ago, wanting to be a Catholic priest, and he actually went to a Catholic school in the beginning when he was a young man, and then he went into their divinity school and was actually studying, Carlos, to be a priest. And I sat and talked with this man, and Judy will tell you that the same thing, and we have some pretty strong debates, because I know where I stand and he thinks he knows where he stands. But anyway, he has a lot of this education from the Catholic divinity school and all this, and all of the basic education that they teach, not only from the Word of God, but from their own text and their own beliefs and their own. And he has enough of that, but he quit because he found out, Bob, that there was as much sin in the Catholic school as there was in the world. So he got frustrated. He quit. But what that has done to him is now he is at the point, this man's 45 years old, I guess maybe 50. He tries to reason everything out up here. And he tries to understand in his mind the Bible. And I assure you, this thing was spiritually written. The Holy Spirit moved on holy men who wrote it down. The Holy Spirit was there when it was written. You will never comprehend or understand the Word of God in your natural mind. And that's what he's trying to do. And me and him have some pretty heated debates, don't we, Judy? Because I can give him scripture for everything he wants to bring out, see. But there's a difference between me and him. He's carnal and he's trying to understand it in his own mind. I have the Spirit and the anointing of God with me. And God, through the Spirit, has been dealing with man for 6,000 years. And the Spirit has the experience that he don't have. So the Spirit can give me the answer anytime I need it. That's why the Bible says, don't worry about what you're going to say when you're brought before the judges. Because God will give you what you need to say at the time you need to say it. So the Bible says, which things ye also speak, not in the world, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. So if for no other reason than to understand the Word of God, like we need to understand the Word of God, we need the Holy Spirit. If for no other reason, we need Him for that reason. Because without Him, we're not going to understand this. Amen? But he that is spiritual judges, the word judges there actually should be translated discerns or understands all things. Yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Listen to this. But we have what? Where did we get it? The third person of the Godhead who is present with us. We have availability of the mind of Christ in every situation. That's why Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But when I send him back, he's going to be your teacher. He's going to be your guide. He's going to be the one that directs you into all truth. He's the one that's going, if you will be sensitive to and listen to the Holy Spirit, he can guide you in every situation in your life. Isn't that exciting? We need the Holy Spirit, folks. He's God's presence in the earth today. And he wants, craves, desires, personal relationship, intimate relationship with each of us. You say, well, preacher, how do you talk to the Holy Spirit? Just like you talk to your wife or your husband or your friends. Just communicate with them. Invite him to be your friend. Invite him to help you pray. Invite him to guide you every day. That's why Benny Hinn said in his book, and that's why he titled it, Good Morning, Holy Spirit, because when he finally learned some of this, he started jumping out of bed every morning, and the first thing he said was, Good morning, Holy Spirit. He realized he was intimate, he was real, he was there, he was available to him. What do you say to your wife or husband when you get up in the morning? good morning, dear. You better be saying good morning, dear. So why not treat the Holy Spirit with the same reverence that you do your wife and your husband? Good morning, Holy Spirit. How are you today? I would like for you to walk with me today, to guide me in my job, to guide me in my life, direct my life today, be with me all day, commune with me, teach me to pray, teach me what to say. Isn't that amazing? All right, listen, I'm not going to, I could go on with this, but I'm not going to bore you with it. I want us to be excited about learning about it, and I will try to cover a lot of the things that I hit just the surface on tonight later, especially the nine gifts of the Spirit and all of that, so that you understand it, so that you know how to function in this, because I believe the body of Christ really needs to know how to function in the Spirit of God. It's imperative in these last days. Evil is increasing all around us, and the Holy Spirit is our armor bearer. He is the force behind what we do, and we need to understand Him, be sensitive to Him, learn who He is, how He functions, so that we can obey and follow Him. Amen?